Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim. This is RTC Weekly Download. I'm Jim Dolan, your host for the hour. We have a summer comedy in the form of Father Knows Best. This is called The Uncontrollable Dog, and it's from 1950.
Mother, is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by America's favorite coffee, Maxwell House. The coffee that's always good to the last drop. A decade or so before the turn of the 20th century, the city editor of the New York Sun came up with a remarkably simple definition of news. When a dog bites a man, he said, that is not news because it happens so often. But if a man bites a dog, that is news. Well, in Springfield, in the white frame house on Maple Street, news may very well be in the making. Nothing unusual has happened thus far, but it's quite possible that before the week is out, a man named Anderson will bite a dog like this.
Holy cow, Dad, I couldn't help it.
But when you signed the good driving pledge...
But I wasn't even driving, Dad. The car was just sitting there.
And the fender dropped off all by itself.
Sure.
But that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
But it's true, Dad.
I wouldn't be surprised if the whole car fell apart.
Is that so? There's nothing wrong with the car and you know it.
Daddy.
What is it, Kathy?
Did you know that in the polar regions, dogs are the chief means of transportation?
What's that got to do with Bud knocking a fender off the car?
I didn't knock it off, Dad. It fell off.
Bud, unless you're willing to tell me the truth...
Jim, Bud is not in the habit of telling lies, and if he says the fender fell off, then it fell off.
And we put it back on again with wire, Dad. You'd never even know the difference.
Oh, fine. Bud, if I ever find out... Oh, never mind. May I have my coffee, Margaret?
Of course, dear. There you are.
Thank you.
Nothing.
What?
It doesn't have anything to do with Bud knocking a fender off the car.
I did not.
Wait a minute, Bud. Kathy, what doesn't have anything to do with Bud knocking a fender off the car?
Dogs are the chief means of transportation in the polar regions.
Fine. I'll order a dog sled in the morning. Is that what you want?
Oh, no. I just wanted to tell you.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. That car's practically as good as it was the day we bought it. Might need a little paint here and there.
Daddy.
What is it, Kathy?
Did you know that the dog has been chosen as the companion of man because of his fidelity and intelligence?
Well, I'd heard rumors, but it's nice to have it on such complete authority.
You're welcome.
Dad.
Yes, Bud.
Does that mean that I can't have the car on Thursday anymore?
No, I suppose it'll be all right. But in the future, I wish you'd be a little more careful, that's all.
I wouldn't be surprised if the roof caved in.
Betty, what's gotten into you? Until tonight, the only complaint you ever had about the car was that you didn't get it often enough.
Jim.
Yes, Margaret?
The Liggetts have a new car.
A convertible.
Oh. Well, pardon me.
Dogs are bred for sports, as watchdogs, for guarding and driving sheep, and for plain ordinary dogs.
Kathy, deep in your obscure little mind...
I'll see who it is.
You stay right where you are. I want to get to the bottom of this dissertation on dogs. Bud?
Yes, Dan?
See who's at the door.
Holy cow. You think nobody else around here knew how to open a door?
All right, Kathy. Will you explain something to me as simply as possible? Why this sudden interest in the history of our canine companions?
Huh?
Dogs.
Oh, Well, dogs are pets, and everybody says they're man's best friend, and they'd probably be girls' best friends, too. And I don't see why...
Kathy, are you going to start that dog business again?
But everybody I know has a dog, and I don't see why...
You know as well as I that Betty's allergic to dogs. They make her sneeze.
Dad, it's Mr. Davis.
Oh, come on in, Ed.
Hello, Jim. Margaret.
Hello, Ed.
Hello, girls.
Hello, Mr. Davis.
We're just finishing our dinner, Ed. How about a cup of coffee?
Oh, no, thanks, Jim. I just want to talk to you about your dog.
Our what?
Well, I wouldn't mind if it were just an ordinary rosebush, Jim, but this was a Bengal. A genuine hibiscus rosa sinensis.
Ed.
I only had two, and you ought to see the one he dug up. It's a complete wreck.
Ed.
Yes, Jim.
What dog?
Why, your dog.
We don't have a dog, you know that.
Daddy.
Jim. I dislike this whole thing as much as you do, but that bush cost me $13.
Ed, we don't have a dog.
Daddy.
And I wouldn't even know where to get another one. They only had two in town. I bought both of them.
Ed.
Yes, Jim.
We don't have a dog.
Daddy.
Kathy, I'm talking to Mr. Davis.
I know, Daddy, but I want to tell you something.
All right, what is it?
We have a dog.
Fine. Look, Ed, I know how you must feel, but... We what?
Kathy, you're joking.
What do you mean, we have a dog?
Well, it was such a poor little dog, Daddy, and it kept following me and following me and...
Kathy, you mean we have a dog... Here?
Uh-huh.
Betty, stop that.
I can't stop it, Father.
You certainly can. Kathy, you've been told 1,000 times not to bring a dog into the house.
Achoo! She's just doing that to be mean.
I am done.
She wasn't sneezing before, and the dog was here all the time.
Where?
What?
Where is it?
Where's what?
The dog.
Oh, the dog.
Kathy, where did you put the dog?
In the playroom.
Well, we'll just see about that.
Of course, it isn't the most valuable rosebush in the world, Jim, but if you knew the trouble I'd gone through...
Jim, where are you going?
Down to the playroom.
Oh, Daddy, please don't be mean to the little dog. He wouldn't hurt a fly.
Where do you think you're going, Bud?
Well, can't I come with you? Gosh, I just want to look at it.
I didn't mean to start all this trouble, Jim, but after all, he did dig up the rosebush.
I know, Ed. I'll be very glad to pay for it as soon as we... Oh. My aching back. Look at the size of that thing.
I'll just wait for you upstairs, Jim.
Kathy, that isn't a dog. It's a werewolf.
No, it isn't, Daddy. It's a dog, and you're frightening him.
I'm frightening him.
Poor little fella. We're not going to hurt you.
Kathy, get away from him.
Daddy.
You heard me, Kathy. You don't get away from that dog. Well, stay over there if that's what he wants. But don't get too close.
Jim, Ed Davis said there was a lion in the basement. Did you? Oh, Kathy.
Isn't he cute, Mommy?
Kathy, come over here.
You better do as your mother says, Kathy.
Maybe she better do what the dog says.
Oh, Jim, what are we going to do?
We're going to find out where he belongs and get rid of him. That's what we're going to do.
Oh, Daddy, you can't. He's such a beautiful dog, and he's so easy to feed. All he eats is cookies.
Bud. See what the tag says on his collar.
On his collar?
Me?
Oh, he won't hurt you, Bud. Will you, George?
Well, go ahead, Bud. There's nothing to be afraid of.
That's a nice fella. Nice, George.
His name isn't exactly George, Bud. I just call him that.
Oh, you're a great help. Nice boy. That's a nice boy. Atta boy.
What does it say, Bud?
Gargantua the Third.
Oh, that's how you say it.
Property of Michael Reed, Orchard Avenue.
Orchard Avenue? Well, that's a mile away. How did he get clear over here?
I think he walked.
Well, he can walk right back. Bud, call Mr. Reed and tell him we have his dog.
Oh, Daddy, no!
Oh, Daddy, yes!
Kathleen, it isn't our dog, and we've got to send him back home.
But, Mommy, I love him so.
Oh, don't cry, Kathy. Gosh, you've still got us.
Everybody's got somebody, and all I have is you.
Me to answer it, Dad?
No, never mind. I'm right here.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes?
I'm Mr. Reed's chauffeur.
Oh, yes. Come on right in.
Oh, thank you. Very nice of you to go to all this trouble.
Oh, it's no trouble at all.
Mr. Reed was quite concerned about Gargantua. Quite concerned.
Well, we weren't too happy about him ourselves. Kathy?
You want me, Daddy?
The man is here for the dog.
Gee whiz.
She'll have it up here in just a minute. Peculiar looking animal, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's a very valuable dog. Weimaraner.
You don't say.
Yes, it's a German hunting dog. Very intelligent.
Well, that's a matter of opinion. Kathy, will you please hurry?
Daddy, I can't find him.
You what?
Oh, Daddy, the most terrible thing happened. He got away.
Kathy.
But he did, Daddy. I just opened the door, and he was gone.
You didn't happen to give him a push.
Oh, Daddy, how can you say... Well, maybe one little push.
Now, see here, Kathleen.
Oh, you don't have to worry, Daddy. I think I can find him again. Later.
I'm awfully sorry about this.
I understand.
Oh, hello, Ed.
Oh, Jim, I don't like
it. Ed, please, I told you I'd get you another rosebush, and I will. First thing in the morning.
I know, Jim, but after all... Now...
George got away.
Yes, I know he got away. Only he didn't get far enough away.
Have you seen him?
Yes, I've seen him. He's in my backyard, and he's having a wonderful time.
All right, Kathy, go get him.
Gee whiz.
And, Jim...
Yes?
When you get that hibiscus sinensis tomorrow, make it two.
Oh, no.
Across the country, there's good news about coffee these days. Grocers everywhere are featuring Maxwell House at lower prices. That's right. These days, the coffee with that wonderful good to the last drop flavor comes to you at the lowest prices in months. A mighty welcome occasion for everybody. You, your grocer, yes, and for Maxwell House, too. With Maxwell House coffee, we've always aimed at one thing, to bring you the best in coffee at the lowest possible price. And that's meant a lot. Meant you could always count on more flavor for your money in every cup of Maxwell House, more wonderfully good cups of coffee in every pound. It's the reason why, year after year, folks everywhere have found Maxwell House is true economy. And nowadays, Maxwell House is more than ever today's coffee buy. The world's most famous coffee flavor is yours to enjoy every cup you pour. And the price is the lowest in months. So tomorrow, get your money's worth and more. Bring home a familiar blue tin of Maxwell House and start enjoying coffee that's always good to the last drop. The dog is a creature whose principal feature is love, and there's nothing can daunt him. He'll stay by your side as though he were tied, especially if you don't want him. A few days have gone by, and in Springfield we find a most unhappy individual. Between roses which cannot be found and a dog which refuses to get lost, Jim Anderson's lot is a miserable one indeed. Like this.
Go on, get away.
Oh, isn't he cute, Daddy? He wants to play.
Well, tell him to play with something else.
But he likes you, Daddy.
All right, I like him, but you don't see me biting his shoes.
Oh, he just wants to be friendly.
No good, Fender. Why don't they make the bolts big enough? They don't want you to fix your car, that's what. Expect you to buy a new one every 5 minutes.
Daddy.
What is it, Kathy?
George is hungry.
George is hungry. George is sleepy. George. Kathy.
Yes, Daddy?
How many times have you found that dog?
6.
And how many times have we sent him home?
6.
Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Any dog that's stupid enough to get trapped in back of a fence 6 times in a row...
Hi, Jim.
Oh, Ed, come on over here. I've got good news for you.
Okay. Hey, see, George is back again.
Yeah, idiotic animal. Comes clear over here from Orchard Avenue and then gets stuck in back of the Willoughby's fence. Smart dog.
He is smart, Daddy. He knows that's where I meet him.
Well, why don't you leave him there? Let somebody else find him for a change.
But, Daddy, the Willoughby's moved away. There wouldn't be anybody to feed him.
He can always eat rose bushes. Oh, that's what I wanted to tell you, Ed. There they are.
You mean those?
Yep, 2 Bengals, and I had to go clear to Plainfield to get them.
Jim, I don't like to be difficult, but those aren't Bengals.
They most certainly are. Look at the tags.
Well, they're marked Bengals, all right, but... Oh, well, you see, Jim, there are 2 kinds of Bengals, Hibiscus rosa sinensis and Rosa japonicus. Now, mine were Hibiscus sinensis, and they're a much hardier variety.
Ed, a rose is a rose. And you said Bengals.
I don't like to argue, Jim, but I said Hibiscus sinensis. You see, the japonicus is very susceptible to mildew and thrips.
That's bad, huh?
Oh, yeah, especially around here. The japonicus doesn't do well in Springfield at all. It needs a much milder climate.
I see. You wouldn't consider moving.
What?
Nothing. I'll keep looking, Ed. After all, what's a few more days? I wouldn't be able to do anything but work anyway.
Mr. Anderson?
Oh, hello there. We're back here near the garage.
Mr. Anderson, I don't know what to say. Mr. Reed is most apologetic.
Yes, I'm sure he must be.
Well, I'll be getting back to my gardening. I've got another bed of geraniums to set up.
I'm sorry, they weren't the right ones, Ed.
Well, that's all right, Jim. There's no particular hurry, I guess.
Mr. Anderson, I want to assure you that we've done everything in our power to keep Gargantua at home.
I'm sure you have.
I've gone over the fence with a fine-tooth comb. We've fixed everything, and still he gets out.
Maybe the fence isn't high enough.
Well, it's quite high, but we're going to make it higher. And now if I may have the dog.
Yes, Kathy. Now, where the dickens did she go? Kathy!
You want me, Daddy?
Where's George?
George?
No, we call him George. Kathy!
I'm coming, Daddy!
Maybe if you called him George, he'd stay home.
Well, it might be a little confusing, but we'll try.
Kathy, why is it... What happened to George?
I don't know, Daddy. Isn't he with you?
No, he isn't with me. Where'd he go?
I don't know.
Kathy, why is it that every time Mr. Reed's chauffeur...
George.
Thank you. Every time George shows up, George... George?
Yes, sir. George.
Oh. Well, why is it every time George shows up, the dog disappears?
I don't know.
What do you know?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, George, but George, Gargantua. George!
Jim!
Ed, is George over there?
He certainly is, and I'm very slowly reaching the point where I don't think it's at all funny.
Ed, he didn't tear up another rosebush.
No.
Well, thank goodness.
This time he got the geraniums.
George dug up the geraniums?
No, but I made a bed, and he's lying in it.
Thank you.
$35 for two miserable little rose bushes. It's criminal, that's what it is.
Jim, let's just be thankful that we were able to find them.
Hibiscus sinensis. Margaret, if I ever see that dog again, so help me...
Jim.
What's the matter?
He's back.
Oh, no, he can't be.
Well, stop the car, Jim. We've got to get him.
Why? Why can't we just pretend that we've never met George? That we've never even heard of him?
Dear, we owe it to Mr. Reed.
Mr. Reed. He's the one who ought to pay for the roses. George is his dog.
Jim, that's not being very charitable.
Well, I don't feel very charitable. Where is he?
Back of the Willoughby's fence.
Again? Margaret, that's the stupidest animal I've ever seen in my life. This is the eighth time he's been stuck in the Willoughby's yard. Any dog with half a brain knows you can jump both ways over a fence. Come here, you silly mongrel.
Oh, Jim, isn't that sweet? He knows us.
Well, why shouldn't he know us? He's been boarding with us for almost a week.
Come on, George. That's a good boy. Take his collar, Jim.
I'd like to wring his neck. Come on, George.
Jim, I don't think you're being very nice to him.
Well, I don't think he's being very nice to us. George, will you please make up your mind? You want to come home with us, or are you going to stay here?
Daddy! Oh, Daddy, you found him again! Oh, George, I'm so happy to see you. Oh, my wonderful George.
Kathy, drag that animal over to our house.
Oh, you don't have to drag him, Daddy.
Well, get him over there. And this time, hang on to him.
Okay, Daddy. Come on, George. I'll race you to the garage.
Man's best friend. Intelligent and loyal. A half-witted caterpillar has more intelligence than that George.
Jim, how about the car?
I'll come back for it later. Right now, I'm going to call that Reed guy and give him a piece of my mind. That's what I'm going to do. If he can't learn to take better care of a dog, he doesn't have any business owning one.
Jim, I'm sure Mr. Reed is doing everything he can.
Well, it isn't enough. Owning a dog is a responsibility to the dog and the neighborhood and everybody else. Let a dog run wild that way, first thing you know, he'll be hit by a car. He's liable to be killed.
I thought you didn't like George.
I don't. I mean, well, he's all right, I guess, but they have no business letting him run around the way they do.
Jim, please don't be too abrupt. Mr. Reed is just as concerned about George as we are.
Well, why shouldn't he be? It's his dog. Hello? Oh, this is Jim Anderson. Yes, he's here again. And look, George, I think it's high time... Well, okay. He's coming right over.
Jim, when he gets here, please remember that George isn't responsible for George. After all, he's merely the chauffeur.
Which one?
George. Oh. He told me this morning that Mr. Reed was going to have the entire fence made higher, and if Mr. Reed thinks that much of George...
Hey, just a minute, Margaret. Bud!
You want me, Dad?
Go outside and hang on to George.
Okay.
Betty!
Yes, Father?
Are you in your room?
Yes, Father.
Well, look out the window and keep an eye on George.
Okay.
He won't get away this time if I can help it. Now, what were you saying, Margaret?
Well, I merely said that if Mr. Reed thought that much of George...
Ye gods, now what?
I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Anderson.
Well, you should be. Anybody who can't take better care of a nice dog like George...
We do take care of him, Mr. Anderson. We still can't understand how he gets away.
That's a very poor excuse. How would you feel if I... Wait a minute. How did you get over here so fast?
Well, I left the moment I hung up.
I know, but from clear over on Orchard Avenue...
Oh, we haven't lived on Orchard Avenue for almost a week. We moved into the Willoughby house on the corner.
Oh, no.
When you go grocery shopping this weekend, be sure to see the welcome news about coffee in your store. These days, grocers everywhere are featuring Maxwell House coffee at lower prices. Now, all of you who know and love that wonderful good-to-the-last-drop flavor can enjoy it at the lowest price in months. And for you folks who haven't been getting that famous flavor, Now's the time to bring home a familiar blue Maxwell House tin. Find out how much more satisfaction, more real pleasure it holds for you. Cup after cup, day after day, you can always count on that Maxwell House flavor. For we'll never compromise on the quality of a single pound. Tomorrow, look for Maxwell House at the lowest prices in months. Now, more than ever, today's coffee buy. Get your money's worth and more with coffee that's always good to the last drop. Another day has come and gone, and so has the perennial George. There's peace once more in the Anderson household, but we wonder just how long it will last. It never does it? Like this.
Most ridiculous thing that ever happened in my whole life. Stealing a dog out of his own yard. They could have had us arrested.
Father.
Yes, Betty?
Have you noticed how quiet it's gotten around here?
I certainly have. Nice and quiet. How was I supposed to know anybody'd moved in? Why didn't they put up curtains or something?
That George is a pretty smart dog. And what a character. You know what he did yesterday?
Whatever he did, I'm not going to pay for it.
Oh, it wasn't anything like that, Dad. Kathy taught him how to play hide-and-seek, and he was really hiding.
Good. I hope it's years before anybody finds him.
Why, Jim, you know you miss George as much as any of us.
I do? I miss George? Margaret, this is the first peaceful moment I've had in almost a week.
Daddy!
Kathy, what is it? What's wrong?
Oh, Daddy, the most beautiful thing happened. Mr. Reed gave me a reward.
Why, how nice, Kathy.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Well, it was certainly the least he could do. What was the reward, Kathy?
I can borrow George anytime I please.
No.
Isn't it wonderful? Here, George. Oh, my beautiful George.
Hiya, boy.
Hello, George.
Now yours to enjoy an instant coffee you'll love for breakfast every morning. An instant coffee you'll be proud to serve to your dinner guests. It's Instant Maxwell House, the instant coffee with a famous flavor. Here's the happiest combination in coffee. Wonderful, good to the last drop flavor, combined with the convenience and thrift of coffee made instantly in the cup. Tomorrow, try Instant Maxwell House, the instant coffee with a famous flavor. Instantly good to the last drop.
In lands across the seas, many people still lack the simplest necessities of life. Food is inadequate, clothing scarce. Help is needed from each of us who can send it. The time to send that help is now. The way to send it is through CARE, C-A-R-E. For this is National Care Week, and Americans everywhere are joining in sending food and clothing abroad. To send a 24-pound package, mail $10 to CARE, New York. That's $10 to CARE, New York. Enclose your name and address and the address of the recipient. Delivery is guaranteed. Join in National Care Week now.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Bargy and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. Don't forget, membership cards for the Robert Young Good Drivers Club are waiting for you at your local NBC station. Get a man-to-man or dad-to-daughter pledge and sign up today. Be a good driver. Get your membership card in the Robert Young Good Drivers Club today. Now, until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Now stay tuned in for Screen Guild Theater, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
Stay
tuned for Charles Boyer and Olivia de Havilland on NBC.
Now it's time to move back in time and back to the Old West with Have Gun Will Travel. This one's called The Map, and it's from 1960.
I memorized the map and destroyed it. If you kill me, you'll never find the money.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Mr. Paladin! Mr. Paladin! Open door!
All right. Yes. What's all the excitement, hey boy?
Oh, Mr. Paladin, you in trouble with army?
In trouble with the army? Why, no.
Oh, that's a good.
Why do you ask?
Well, hey boy here, army colonel, asked for you downstairs. And hey boy thought maybe you in trouble. I'll give you a chance to get away. Uh-oh, too late.
Huh? It's Potter, Colonel Potter.
Paladin.
Well, Potter, what are you doing
good
here?
Good to see you.
Last I heard of you, you were on the trail of those payroll bandits. What are you doing now?
Well, I'm still on their trail. That's why I've come to you.
3 years and you still haven't caught them, huh? Well, come on in.
Thanks.
I'll talk to you later, hey boy.
Oh, see you soon.
Well, sit down, John. Have a cigar?
Oh, thank you.
Here.
Well, you seem to have done all right, Paladin.
Oh, I try.
I just hope you're not so well off you can't use $500.
I can always use $500, John. You want me to join the search, huh?
We're getting close to him, Paladin. With your help, I think we can get him.
How close are you?
How much do you remember of the case?
Well, let me think. It was a payroll for Fort Anderson. Two men made off with the money, and they took, how much was it, $80,000?
$90,000. And there were three men in on it.
Three?
That's right. We discovered there was an army man involved. He did all the inside work. Didn't take us long to find him. A private by the name of Jim Griffin. We've been holding him in the prison at the Presidio.
Money's not doing him much good, is it?
No, but he never got his hands on it anyway.
What makes you think so?
This.
What's that?
We found it in his personal effects. It's a piece of a map. It indicates the position of the payroll money.
And you think they buried it?
Yes. Jim Griffin's been in the hospital at the prison for the last 6 months. Part of that time, he's been delirious. We've heard him mumbling about the map, and from what we can gather, he and the other two men made a pact to have somebody bury the money and draw up a map. And apparently, they divided the map into three pieces.
Who buried the money?
Well, we don't know, but whoever it was, they killed him.
Oh.
We learned that much from Griffin. He's also been talking about meeting the others on December 12th, or it'll be too late.
I see. Now, where do I fit in with your plans?
Well, Jim Griffin died this morning.
Oh?
We want you to be Jim Griffin.
What are you talking about, John?
Here. Take a look at this tintype.
Let's see.
It's a picture of Griffin taken several years ago.
This?
Mm-hmm.
This is Griffin?
You look enough like him to be his twin, Paladin.
I see.
Will you do it?
Well, I don't know, John. This map gives no location. I wouldn't know where to start.
Oh, we can help you there. Griffin has a girlfriend who's come to visit him 3 or 4 times. She probably knows where the meeting place is.
And if she doesn't?
Maybe the other two men will come looking for you. Like I said, there's a $500 reward, providing, of course, that you get the proof on the other man and get the money back.
Well, how do you want the money stacked, John?
Then you'll do it.
I'll do it. Colonel Potter, shake hands with Jim Griffin.
There's no doubt about it. Show business is the business of entertainment, and performers are very far from being dull folk. And this is a matter you'll have a lot of fun verifying when The Mitch Miller Show brings sparkling show business chatter and personalities your way over these CBS radio stations. Give Mitch Miller and his show business guests a listen, and you'll prove it to yourself. You can be sure a very good time will be had by all, yourself included, when you get better acquainted with your favorite limelight personalities on The Mitch Miller Show. Three days later, I had become Jim Griffin. Colonel Potter gave me as much information as they had of the man's background, and I was dishonorably discharged from the Army. I even said goodbye to Griffin's old cellmates, and to a man, they accepted me. But the real test was to come with Anna Baker, Griffin's girlfriend. The colonel's men had found out that she lived with her mother 15 miles from San Francisco. If I could get by the girl, I could get by anybody as Jim Griffin. Early one morning, I rode out there, and as I came into the yard, an old woman greeted me, followed by a flock of chickens she'd been feeding. Hello there.
Yes?
Yes. Mrs. Baker, don't you know me?
I know you.
I've come to see Anna.
She's not here. If it was up to me, she'd never be here to you, Griffin. Go on, I got work to do.
When will she be back?
I don't know. Took a horse to be shod.
Would you mind if I wait?
Jim Griffin, you ain't welcome here. You've brought nothing but sorrow to us. Now, why don't you just ride out of Anna's life?
I am leaving, Mrs. Baker. I wanted to say goodbye to Anna.
Here she comes. Have your goodbye and be done with her.
Jim!
Hello, Anna.
Jim, they told me you were sick. They wouldn't let me see you. They said you didn't know when I could see you.
What's the matter? Why are you looking at me that way?
You've changed, Jim.
Yeah, well, prison does things to a man.
Ask me, it ain't done enough to you.
Mother, please.
You should have killed him.
Jim, are you out of the Army now?
Yeah, I'm out all right. For good, Anna.
Wiley Carson was by day before yesterday.
Wiley?
Yes, he said I was to see you. But they wouldn't let me in at the prison. He said I was to get something from you.
Oh, what?
You know, the piece of map. Have you got it?
Yeah, I've got it.
Wiley said maybe you'd give it to me. Now that you're out, you can meet him yourself.
Did he say where?
The Blue Nose Saloon in Johnson City. But you have to hurry.
Yeah.
Will you come back this way, Jim?
You know I will, Anna.
It's a promise?
It's a promise.
Good luck.
Bye. Johnson City consisted of a main street, some 20-odd houses, and a Blue Nose Saloon. There, I waited for Wiley Carson. I didn't know what he looked like, but I sat at a table where I could see anyone who entered, and they could see me. I waited a whole day, and then most of another.
How about another drink, mister?
Yeah, fine, all right.
Right away. I say, now, it ain't none of my business, but are you waiting for somebody?
You're right. It isn't any of your business.
No offense, mister. Just that I don't remember seeing you before. I've been sitting here for 2 days now. You just passing through?
Maybe, maybe not.
No offense now, you understand. I just thought I'd ask.
Hey, bartender, how about a drink?
They're coming right away, mister.
Well, looky here. But ain't the delight of the Army, Jim Griffin.
Hello, Wiley.
Bartender, you can bring my drink over here.
Yes, sir.
This is a surprise. Didn't think they'd ever let you out. I was expecting Anna.
I decided to come myself.
You look different, Jim. That prison done things to you.
You try it sometime.
You here courtesy of the warden?
Yeah.
Discharge, huh?
dishonorable.
Sounds like maybe they know we was to have a meeting.
What are you trying to say, Wiley?
I'm saying maybe you're working for the Army now. Maybe a couple of years in prison and they got you
there. You listen to me, Carson. I spent 2 years in a rotten, stinking hole just dreaming of the time when we can get that money.
I was wrong, Jim. That prison made you meaner than ever.
Yeah, well, you just remember that, Wiley.
I'll remember, Jim.
You two friends ready for your drinks now?
Just set them down.
Yes, sir.
You bring your piece of the map?
I've got it.
Let's see it.
I said I've got it.
All right. Don't get hard about it.
Now, you've been outside. What are the plans now?
Same as they were 3 years ago.
All right.
We meet Jake tomorrow at the cabin at Hard Rock. Just like we agreed, Jim.
Then we better get started. Drink up.
Ooh-wee. This stuff's so bad, we better take a couple of bottles with us.
Yeah, well, suit yourself.
Yeah, you ain't the old Jim I remember. The old days, you'd have wanted to bring a bottle yourself.
Hey, listen to me, Wiley. There's only one thing I want. I've been waiting 3 years for that money.
Jim, we all been waiting.
Serving time in a stinking 2x4 cell?
Now get me a bottle. We'll go right now, Jim.
Hard Rock was 60 miles from Johnson City. The most direct route ran through a series of grassy plateaus that finally tapered out into high desert country. I knew that land like the back of my hand, and so I knew the easiest way to get there. Wiley and I didn't talk much. I preferred not to. Toward sundown that day, he began to try to steer me away from the best route, but I stuck to my guns. I was soon to find out the reason for his actions.
You're getting off the trail, Jim.
No, I'm not. This is the best way, and you know it.
I think we'd ought to be heading more into them hills.
No, this is the way.
Sure you don't want a drink, Jim?
Nope.
And I'll have one. Ball boy. This stuff's beginning to taste better the farther we get from town.
Yeah. Now let's go. We're wasting time. Hey, wait a minute. Look over there.
Where? I don't see nothing.
No, over that way. And the horse, all saddled. He's just standing there.
Oh, yeah. I see it.
Come on. Come on. Ooh. Hey, Wiley, there's somebody on the ground.
So there is.
Yeah, the heat must have gotten him.
Yeah, the heat.
Yeah, this man's been shot. Wiley, give me a hand.
Stand where you are, mister.
What are you doing? Put that gun away.
Who are you?
What's the matter with you, Wiley?
Throw down your gun.
Why?
Because that ain't no man lying there. That's Jake, the one we're supposed to meet. You didn't recognize him. Now, that gun, throw it down easy, like. Yeah. We're going to have ourselves a little talk. Then I'm going to get you a piece of the map and kill you. Just like I'd done to Jake.
Look, Bob, here's why you can't balance these books. Put this little item over here and you come out okay.
You're right.
Then what's wrong with you?
I've had a nagging backache lately with sleepless nights. Makes me feel worn out.
Then why not do something about it?
But what?
I'd try Doane's Pills.
Good advice. That's Doane's Pills, an analgesic and mild diuretic to the kidneys. Nagging backache, also headache, dizziness, and muscular aches and pains, may come on with overexertion, emotional upsets, or everyday stress and strain. Doane's pain-relieving action is often the answer, and they also offer mild diuretic action through the kidneys. So if nagging backache is making you feel worn out, tired, and miserable with restless, sleepless nights, don't wait. Try Doane's Pills, used successfully by millions for over 60 years. See if they don't bring you the same welcome relief. Get Doane's Pills today. To save money, buy Doane's Big Economy Size.
All right, that's far enough. Sit down right here. I'm going to find out who you really are. You sure had me fooled, mister. You're enough like Jim to be his twin.
So you killed Jake to get his piece of the map, is that it?
I'll ask the questions.
Ooh. You're tough, aren't you, Wyatt?
Talk, mister. Who are you?
That's my business.
I'll make you talk. Now hand over that map.
I haven't got it.
I guess you think I'm fooling.
I told you I haven't got it.
It'd be awful easy for me to kill you, mister, and then take it.
That wouldn't do you any good. I memorized it, threw it away. You kill me and you won't get anything. Let's go.
Hold it.
You won't kill me, Wiley.
No,
I didn't think so.
We gotta get that money.
All right, then you show me the pieces of map you have, and I can take us to it.
I guess I'm going to have to trust you, mister.
I guess you are at that, Wiley. It should be here, Wiley. Unless
what?
Well, unless somebody got to it before we did.
And keep digging.
Hey. Yeah, there's something here.
You sure?
Yeah.
That's it. That's the box I was in.
All right, give me a hand.
Dig it out.
Yeah, it's too heavy for me. Will you give me a hand?
All right. But I'll be holding this gun on you. Don't try nothing.
Why, you? I'll kill you!
Maybe not. You give me that gun, you idiot.
Wiley. Well, you asked for it.
Turn around, mister.
Huh? Anna.
Drop the gun.
Anna, why are you doing this?
I've come for Billy's money.
Billy?
My brother, Billy. Open that box.
You're making a mistake.
Open it!
All right.
You didn't really think you could fool a man's woman, did you?
No, I guess not. Now the money's here.
All right. Hand me $5,000.
Why $5,000?
That's what they promised Billy. They got him to bury the money, draw the map. Then they put a bullet through his head. He was only 16.
I didn't know that.
Who are you?
Doesn't matter. Here's your $5,000.
Now, where's Jim Griffin?
He's dead.
Dead?
He died in prison.
Jim? No. No.
You loved him, didn't you?
We were gonna be married. He was gonna work hard. Make something of himself in the army. And he heard about this payroll. Something happened to him. He had to have that money. Jim planned the whole thing, and it changed him. I guess
I guess it changed all of us.
Do you really want this money?
No. Not now.
I'll take the rifle, Anna. Miss Wong.
Mr. Paladin?
How are you this morning?
I'm fine, Mr. Paladin. Did Army officer find you last night?
Colonel Potter? Yes, he did. He took me out to dinner, bought me lots of brandy, and gave me $500.
That's nice.
Well, Miss Wong, what's the matter with you?
Something Hey Boy said.
Oh, well, for goodness sakes, what did he say?
Hey Boy asked me, why is wedding ring like eternity?
Eternity?
Eternity. Missy Wong says she not know.
Then what did he say?
Hey Boy say, because it has no beginning and no end. Hey Boy make a fun of getting married.
No. No, he's not, Miss Wong.
He's too. He say that and laugh.
Why, no, that's only a riddle.
Riddle?
Mm-hmm.
What's your riddle, Mr. Parlina?
Well, a riddle is, well, that's when you ask a question and give a silly answer. No, Hey Boy wasn't making fun of marriage.
You sure?
For sure.
Oh, good. Oh, I go now. Thank you, Mr. Parlina.
Miss Wong, you shouldn't take Hey Boy so seriously. You just remember that.
I try to remember.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Wolf, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris, and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hey Boy, and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Tom Hanley. Featured in the cast were Virginia Christine, Vic Perrin, Tim Graham, and Ken Lynch. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.